Chapter 26. "Charlie," Tuk-Tuk said. "Charlie, you hear me?" Charlie woke from his slumber. He was groggy, but the exhausted edge was gone, at least. "Yeah, what's up?" "Your head," Tuk-Tuk said. "I looked to help cleaning where you cut, but it already healing." Charlie sat up and ran his fingers gently over the area he'd injured when Captain Tor flung him into the bulkhead. "Huh. Still working, I see."
"You Power Man?"
Tuk-Tuk asked, his eyes going wide on their stalks. "Nah, it must be the water."
"Water? What you mean?"
"Oh, just when we were exploring that desert, there was this weird water, is all."
"There no water in Balamar Wasteland, Charlie. Everyone know this. Me tell you so."
"Then it must have been one hell of a mirage."
"Mirage?"
"Illusion. But this one was wet, and it made my skin heal."
Tuk-Tuk gasped. "The flow?"
"The what now?"
"Me tell you, but you no listen. The legend. Gone when Visla Balamar destroyed. Him tap into something bigly, make to pool and store power in water. Them say that why he lives so long, why he so strong."
"Well, I don't know about anything like that," Charlie said. "This guy sure is worked up about this flow stuff," he was musing, just as the lights to their cell abruptly grew bright as Captain Tor and his right-hand man, Sour, stormed into the cell.
"You are to come with me," Tor demanded.
If Charlie had any thoughts of resistance, the look on Sour's face made him think twice. He could heal fast, but probably not fast enough. The two led him down a corridor. It was his first look at the ship outside his cell, and the rest of the craft was devoid of any signs of technology. Smooth walls, gently glowing ceilings, and doors that, while apparently open, made the collar around his neck tingle if he strayed too close. A soft chanting came from one room, and as they passed it, Charlie saw a dozen men and women, all of them with a faint, glowing blue tint to their skin, sitting in a circle. They appeared to be in a trance as they repeated the same words over and over again. "Florimar Ivanti Nectu," he silently repeated to himself. Not a very catchy tune.
"Hey, what's with the Kumbaya people?" Charlie asked, leaning in toward the door. He received a jolt to his collar that sent him sprawling to the floor, the clatter breaking the concentration of one of the chanting women. The ship lurched a moment before she regained her composure and began chanting once more.
"Okay, now that was weird."
"Do not do that again," Sour growled. "Ever."
"Okay, okay. Don't make fun of the sing-along. Got it."
They turned left, following a curving passage until they reached a small room with two seats and a table.
"That looks an awful lot like an interrogation room," Charlie noted.
"You will sit," Captain Tor said.
Charlie obliged.
"Would you like refreshment?" Tor asked, sliding a cup of water in front of him.
He watched Charlie glance at the beverage, but not drink it with curiosity. Then poured another and slid it in front of his prisoner, swapping cups and drinking deep.
"It is not poison, I assure you," he said. "I know the water provided our guests can sometimes be less than refreshing."
"Oh, I'm a guest now."
"Of course you are," Tor said. "We merely got off on the wrong foot. A misunderstanding."
"I'm sure you understand. It can be so tiring in the Balamar Wasteland. Even the best of us get cranky at times."
"If you call blasting me with that thing cranky, then yes, very cranky.
But we are rested now and refreshed. A nice drink of water makes all the difference, does it not?"
"I suppose," Charlie replied.
"These guys are all about water all of a sudden. They must have been eavesdropping in our cell. They heard everything. And this was so important to them, they took me away from Tuk-Tuk to talk about it."
"Which means..."
"You must have had a difficult time out there," Captain Tor continued in his nicest voice. "And with limited supplies, that could be difficult, I'm sure."
"It was," Charlie answered. "But we were making do. I noticed you dug holes in search of fluids. But tell me..."
"Ah, hell, here it comes."
"Tell me, Charlie. Did you happen to find water out in that desolate place?"
Captain Tor was doing his best to appear totally at ease, disinterested even.
but the underlying desire driving him was impossible to entirely conceal.
Well, there was some water out there, he said.
Tor almost jumped at the words.
Oh, how interesting, he managed to say in a relatively calm tone.
And was there anything unusual about this water?
He knows. Not what we found, but something, Charlie realized. I'm going to have to play this very carefully.
He shrugged as nonchalantly as he could.
Well, it was kind of iridescent, I suppose. And when he got it on my skin, it made the sunburn go away.
Sir, it has to be, Sauer blurted.
Refrain from outbursts, please. You'll frighten our guest.
Apologies, Captain.
The intimidating man turned back to Charlie. I'm sorry for my lieutenant's enthusiasm. It's just such a rarity, finding a water source in the desert. It would make stopping there so much less of an ordeal.
Tell me, could you show me where it was if we went back?
I could try to find it again, sure, Charlie said. But it was a pretty vast desert, and it might be hard to...
Sauer, turn us around.
But it wouldn't matter, Charlie continued. It was only a tiny little puddle, and we drained it completely when we found it.
He could have sworn the captain took a little step back from him when he heard that.
Oh, I see. And did you drink that water? Tor asked, his hand slowly creeping toward the pouch he kept his slap in.
Drink it? Oh no, of course not, he lied. We didn't know if it was poison or not.
I just got some on my skin when we were gathering it up, is all.
I hope he buys that, Charlie thought, while trying to maintain his best innocent face. The one he perfected as a boy when his mother would come home to find something disassembled on the floor. Of course, she knew it was him, and she was angry, but she humored her son. He had a knack for repairing things. He just had to take them apart first to figure out how they worked.
The green-hued alien's shoulders relaxed ever so slightly.
Probably for the best. One should be careful in the wasteland, he said. But you say you emptied the pool.
Puddle, really, not much there.
Puddle, then. You filled containers.
Yeah, brought them back to the camp to analyze and see if they were safe to drink.
And did any of the others touch the waters?
Nope, just me, he said, casually omitting his impromptu swim with Rika in the water-filled cistern. A smile began to grow on Captain Tour's face.
So they are still there.
He turned to Sauer, ignoring his guest.
It splashed his skin.
Sauer, it would explain this one's resilience.
He did not drink it, but even so, is it worth the risk?
He is weak, unpowered. Just look, he said, turning to Charlie. He realized the human was listening.
Son of Usk, he said with a dismissive wave of his hand. Charlie suddenly found himself unable to understand the aliens.
So, that's the command to shut off the translation software. Son of Usk.
That may come in handy, he thought, tucking away the alien word for another time. The two T'slaver continued to speak in front of him, but he couldn't make out a word of it.
If I may speak freely, sir, he came in contact with the water. He is unpredictable. It makes him a risky cargo. I believe it is best to get rid of him at the next planet.
Perhaps, but first we return to Balamar Wasteland and collect the waters. Do you realize, Sauer, that no one has seen a drop since the Great War? It was thought destroyed, and he claims to have several containers full. We will be rich beyond our wildest dreams.
I know, sir, but perhaps we should unload him first, sell him to a Zamaki breeder for chum.
I've made up my mind, Sauer. I appreciate your counsel, as always, but this one may be of use to us yet.
He turned to Charlie.
Impeso, Ovusk.
I understood those words. They sounded different than that other gibberish. It must be a base coding language, not their native tongue.
Impeso Ovusk, he silently repeated to himself.
We are going to return to your ship to gather more salvage. Perhaps when we are there, we will even bring the water containers on board and complete the tests you were running for you.
Where did you say you hid them?
Tor asked, buttery smooth.
Oh, I didn't hide them, Charlie replied. They were sitting on the sled your goons dragged back to our camp when you ransacked the place.
It'd be great to get some of our supplies, sure, but the water is long gone.
Gone, you say?
Yeah, I saw it happen. Don't you remember? Charlie asked, relishing what was coming next. Actually, it was you who did it, if I remember correctly. You kicked the containers over before brutalizing my friends. It all drained out into the sand.
If the alien weren't already green, he would have turned that color.
If legend is true, it doesn't evaporate, Sauer said.
But it certainly did soak into the ground, Charlie muttered. The slave ship's commander's shoulders slumped slightly.
It is lost to the sands, Sauer, Captain Tor said quietly. It was there, right under our noses. The find of a lifetime, and we lost it. By our own hands, no less.
He took one final glance at Charlie, sighed, then turned to his aide.
We're done. Take him back.
The wiry alien rough-hauled Charlie to his feet and hauled him unceremoniously out of the room and tossed him back in his cell.
That went well, Charlie said with a laugh,
then settled into his bunk for a long flight to who knew where.